You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. They will steer you straight with a 39.95 wheel alignment. Check it out at lakewoodchev.com.
Man, I've seen this pitcher in 2013 and 14 and 15 and 16. And obviously, I sense from there, at least from the fan base, not necessarily the players, that there's obviously a lot of trepidation that the Ducks are going to lose Game 7 at home again for the fifth year in a row.
Well, certainly that is the that's the elephant in the room. That is for sure. You know, the Ducks have something to overcome tonight. There's no doubt about it. And you know, they've gotten excellent performances from Getzlaff and also from Perry at certain times. And so, you know, there's just a lot of anxiety, but at the same time, you know, that this is a good club that's handled adversity, and, you know, it stands to reason that they could overcome this hurdle tonight.
Sitting here in Edmonton, there's a lot of criticism of the play of Pouliot, Nugent Hopkins, and Jordan Eberle. That's what we hear all around Edmonton. People are talking about it. From your perspective there in Edmonton, is there a player or a line that have underperformed so far in this playoffs slash series?
Well, in this playoff season, I would have to say that the Ducks really need a lot more from Antoine Vermette, and who has one assist. He's been fantastic in the faceoff circle, well over 60%. He's been great, and they've been able to rely on him. But the scoreboard has to change for Vermette, and I would also say that Nick Ritchie needs to finish some chances as well. He's got one goal. Andrew Cogliano has had a bunch of misses, and he's been great out there with Kessler and Silverberg, but it's got to translate to the scoreboard. There's no question that when you have guys like Mark Letestu coming in strong and Zach Cassian kicking in key goals, you know, the Ducks are going to need a little bit more of that depth. Silverberg and Raquel have been able to supply a lot of scoring, but no, with Patrick Eaves, a lot of people aren't talking about that. He was a very big trade deadline acquisition, and the Ducks don't have him, and that is a very big loss. So for all the focus on Getzlaff and Perry, the fact is that someone's got to step into the breach, because Eaves was occupying a pretty prominent role.
To follow up on that, are the Ducks happy with the contribution offensively their D-men have brought to this playoffs?
Yeah, I think in general they are. I think that, Cam Fowler helped power that comeback the other night. But, of course, you know, Vatanen and Lindholm need to get onto the score sheet. I think that they, in general, think that the defenseman can do more. I don't think it's for lack of trying. I know that there's been, you know, quite a number of shots. And, you know, earlier in the playoffs, Kevin Bieksa had four assists. He's out right now. And Brandon Montour looked like he had even more offensive upside throughout the regular season. And, you know, it's tough in the playoffs for a young guy like that. But, yeah, I would have to say that, you know, between Vatanen and Lindholm, they probably need, you know, someone to step up. I think when you take a look at Nashville and what they get out of Ryan Ellis and guys like that, you know, Roman Josi, no time like the present. You know, it can't just be the forwards. I think you're absolutely right. I think they need some moments kind of like the ones that Adam Larson delivered earlier in the series. You know, you've got to have that. But, you know, in fairness, it's not like they're not taking shots. It's not like they're not getting involved. But I would agree, they need more from them.
Josh Brewster joins us. Josh, the change of Leon Draisaitl to the middle, now we kind of see two big lines heading up. Kessler, McDavid, Getzlaff versus Draisaitl. Getzlaff was really unstoppable in the first four games. He had 8 points. Draisaitl has been pretty consistent all playoffs, but really good in this series with 13 points in six games. And I saw the little thing was Draisaitl. Getzlaff, obviously big, strong guy, likes to intimidate with cross-checks, and Draisaitl wasn't backing down. Him and Lucic, do you see Randy Carlyle guaranteed going head-to-head, or is he going to try to get Getzlaff out against the Nugent Hopkins line that he had a lot of success with early in the series?
Yeah, that I think you're touching on probably the key adjustment right now. You know, Randy's made some good adjustments, putting Perry back up with Getzlaff, and, of course, McClellan has responded with some adjustments of his own, and, you know, there's no question that that is really the crux of the matter right now, because that's really why I brought up the Patrick Eaves thing, because, you know, Getzlaff had a different matchup, and, yeah, I would suspect that Randy will lean heavily on him with regard to ice time and try to get him different matchups back against Nugent Hopkins if possible. But there's only so much you can get away from, and there's other guys are going to have to pull on the rope here in Anaheim to, you know, to make sure that the Ducks are strong and that they've got to be prepared for the idea that, you know, it might not be the Ryan Getzlaf show tonight, you know, but you've got a bunch of other guys who need to produce. And I would have to say that really is the key crux of the matter right now, assuming that the lineups aren't really going to change much. That really is going to be the most interesting battle. And that's also why I point out a guy like Antoine Vermette, because he's winning all those draws, but you've got Mark Letestu there who's putting the points up coming from a third line position. You know, so the Ducks have to respond to that, and there's no doubt they have to be prepared for the idea that, hey, it's not going to go just gangbusters for Getzlaf every night.
John Gibson had a bit of a rough start to the game last game, was pulled rather quickly. Knowing him like you do, what do you expect from the netminder tonight?
Well, he's always shown that he can bounce back. He bounced back in the first round after being pulled 4 goals on 16 shots. Against Calgary in Game 3, he pulled him out. Ducks mounted a huge comeback. At the same time, he came back the next game, 36 saves on 37 shots, and they swept Calgary. I think that he's had some shaky moments here, and I think that, you know, you've got to balance that against, you can't just look at the stats. There are some very, very, very big saves that saved this team's bacon en route to coming back, in games like Games 4 and then obviously Game 5 that, you know, Gibson should deserve a lot of credit for keeping the club in. But, you know, there's no doubt that it was an absolute disaster the other night in Game 6, and he bears a good amount of responsibility for not being able to keep the game close. That said, in fairness to him, Bernier got shelled too, and there's pretty much 18 forwards and defensemen who can't be too proud of what happened that day. It was a team loss. But, yeah, he's shown evidence that there's going to be a bounce back. I would hope for the Ducks' sake that he stays dialed in and that he can deliver.
Josh Brewster joining us from Anaheim. Ducks and the Edmonton Oilers tonight, 8 o'clock start. Edmonton time, Capitals and Penguins will be the first of Game 7, so that gets going in about 20 minutes' time. Quickly, is Kasher going to play tonight?
You know, it's kind of questionable. Randy doesn't give out a lot of info, but he has been skating, so it's entirely possible. You know, they've called up Sam Carrick from the San Diego Gulls, and you know, you could see Kasha out there. It's entirely possible he can get around, and you know, certainly you want to be able to keep up in the speed department. And he's not that productive, but he's a very young guy, and he does have some offensive upside, but they're going to need any help that they can get. So at game time decision, it's a possibility you will see him as an option for Randy.
As you followed this series along, it's interesting to see how Draisaitl's kind of taking center stage as far offensively for this Edmonton Oilers group. Is there a change perhaps in philosophy of the way they've looked at Draisaitl? And maybe could Connor McDavid get lost a little bit in the shuffle and quite frankly, have a good night?
Well, the thing is they've managed to do what they need to do against Connor McDavid, which arguably Kessler and Lindholm's work against McDavid that might be the reason that we're here.
Sure.
In Game 7, quite honestly. You know, and so they shouldn't change anything with regard to him. As far as Draisaitl goes, you know, I don't know if there's anything in the lineup that really speaks to this. I think that what's going to have to happen is going to be Will. And, they're going to have to show that they're ready to shut him down come hell or high water, no matter the matchup. And, you know, there's only so many crafty moves a coach can make. You just have to beat the guy tonight. You know, the Ducks saw that earlier in the series. Game 2, you know, they deserved a better fate, but deserved isn't in the statistical column. So, you know, change nothing that you've done against McDavid. Hope to contain him a bit. And Draisaitl, hey, you know, go get him and prove that you're better than him, because he's just been dominant. So, you know, that's a tough one. And they're going to have to come up with 60 minutes of shutting him down, and whether that's Nate Thompson or whether that's Ryan Getzlaf or, you know, Vermette or whoever it is, it's just going to have to beat the guy.
Well, Josh, enjoy the game tonight. Should be an electric atmosphere, probably rather tense early on in Anaheim. Enjoy it.
Thanks so much. It's a hell of a club you've got there in Edmonton, and Hopefully the Ducks will have a better fate tonight, but it should be a wild one.